Hey, everybody. Good to be with you guys. I love this ministry. I'm proud of y'all for being here. God's got good things in store for you. My wife struggles from OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder. And there's just some times where it's, you know, where it's not really a thing, and other times where the waves are really high and it can be a real struggle. And sometimes she'll come to me and she'll be like, babe, I just feel like I'm going crazy. And in the greatest amount of compassion I can muster in that moment, I'm like, oh, baby, you went crazy a long time ago. We find it helpful to laugh at life and at difficulties. It takes some of the sting and the power out of it when you're able to just talk about it with freedom. And so my wife, I texted her before I came tonight because we're going to be talking about mental illness, mental disorders, mental health in general. Because it's going to affect all of us in some way, whether personally, our spouse, someone in our family, parent, children, coworker, neighbor. It's going to affect us. And hopefully tonight you'll be able to speak into it a little more clearly. But I asked her and told her, I said, I'm so proud of you that you'd allow me to share about this, about your struggle on a public level. This is being recorded. It's going to get posted. She was like, of course. She's like, if I remain silent, then how can anyone else get any kind of help or hope? There's so many people that are struggling in silence and just suffering. And so, yeah, use it. Tell them anything you want. So tonight, it's just that. I want to tell you about the mental struggle in our life, and I want to speak to both the sufferer and the supporter tonight. So I'm going to come at it from two different angles. My role as a supporter and Laura's aspect and life as a struggler. Before I do, 2 years ago, she walked through breast cancer. We just got the 2-year clear. She's okay. But went through that diagnosis, surgery, treatment, radiation, the works. And what it brought was this real awareness of we could be walking through death. We had, you know, we've all heard stories. We've all known someone. And it was a really sobering time. I thought, you know, I may come out of this like a single dad. But as hard as that was for both of us, she would tell you that that cancer diagnosis and treatment, and this is our experience, I'm not liking this to anyone else's, that was actually a walk in the park compared to her OCD struggle. And part of the reason why for that is because the cancer diagnosis and procedures, that was just a moment in time as an experience, but her mental struggle is her existence. Like, it's not going away. So cancer, a moment of time, and the other, a lifetime. Cancer lasted a year, OCD being for life. And so hear me say from the outset, if that's you, your spouse, family member, we, this church, have so much compassion for you. There's so much stigma that can follow mental health or lack thereof. And just know that you're loved. God loves you. He's not mad at you. And there's a lot of hope, and I hope to pass some of that hope along to you tonight. The other thing that I want to say, because we were told this. We were told with Laura's mental struggle that if we just prayed more and memorized more scriptures, then it would go away. And it was it was an incredibly insulting and painful thing to hear. And the reason for that, as I wrestled with it more, I'm like, oh, I know why that was such bad counsel. Because Laura, frankly, she's got more scripture memorized than I do. I mean, she's like just going through her memory cards all the time. It's not a lack of memorizing scripture or renewing her mind. It's not a lack of prayer. She prays more than I do. I don't have a mental struggle. She does. Why is that? You know, she's there with that. And I sat there and I wrestled with them. I'm like, why does that bother me so much? I'm like, oh, I know why. That's the prosperity gospel. That's the health aspect of the prosperity gospel, that if you just had more faith, if you just called upon God's promises, then you wouldn't suffer physically, her brain being a physical part of her body. And so hear me say tonight that the body is subject to decay. Your brain is not somehow magically immune to your body being subject to decay, as the scripture says. And there's hope even still. The scripture says that daily We are subject to decay by daily. We are being renewed in spirit day by day. So with that in mind, here's three things to walk through as a sufferer, and then three things for the supporter. So three things for the sufferer. One, you are loved, and this is not who you are. So often, a mental struggle can become an identity. It's like, well, that's who I am. I'm in this depressive state, bipolar, OCD, anxiety, whatever it is. There's a lot there. And that can become an identity. I think Satan can use it to become that is your identity. The world can put that identifier on you. And I get it because it can feel so all-consuming. But if you're in Christ, if you trusted in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, it's not your identity. Scripture makes it really clear you are a holy one. You are a saint. It's how the New Testament again and again and again identifies God's people are saints, holy ones, son or daughter of the King. And so your struggle is not your identity. The other thing that I would say as I was talking with Matt about this is that whether, you know, like any physical ailment, I mean, I suffer from migraines. When they come, it's like world's ending until I get that medicine out of my pocket, and a couple hours later, I'm in a good place. But then there's also, you know, incredible, just really difficult physical ailments. So whether it's migraine or allergies or a common cold, all the way to terminal cancer, there's a spectrum of physical ailments. And so there is also with mental struggles. It could be situational depression because of a bad decision, which I've been in before in my life. That I brought on myself, situational depression. Maybe job loss will bring on situational depression. Maybe because of marriage factors that even brought you to this room, situational depression or anxiety. And then there are hereditary, generational, mental struggles that you see passed down in whatever the case may be. And I'm not a psychiatrist, psychologist. I'm not getting into that. I'm saying there's a different spectrum at different layers to different degrees. And whatever they are, hard is hard. Like nobody is telling me, like, it's just a migraine, man, get over it. Because it's debilitating. And no one's telling that the person with terminal cancer. And so situational depression to like lifelong bipolar disorder, hard is hard. And there's so much compassion. You're loved, that's not who you are. In 2 Corinthians 1, it says that the God of all comfort has comforted us in all of our afflictions, so that you may comfort those with the comfort you've received. It's an incredible statement there. It says the God of all comfort. That's one of the titles God gives to himself. He says, I am the God, not of some comfort, of all comfort, every good gift coming down from him. He's the God of all comfort who comforts us in all of our afflictions. All of them. And so he's going to bring comfort. I don't know how, I don't know when, I don't know from where, but he promises that he will. And so cling to that hope and know that you're loved. I've already mentioned 2 Corinthians 4:16, where it says our outer body, our self, is wasting away. It's just, I mean, I've got aging parents. I myself am in my 40s. Like, I don't heal like I used to. I know that our outer body is wasting away, but it says our spirit, if we're in Christ, is being renewed day by day, and that he will use our sufferings to bring about Christ's likeness in us. And so just know that even the mental struggle that feels so hard, it's not in vain. God will not waste your pain. He will use it. He'll flip the script. Frankly, OCD is why I married Laura. And that sounds really weird. Like, why you just wanted somebody to walk through an affliction with? Why would you marry someone did you seek out someone with a mental struggle? Here's what I mean. She would not be the godly woman that she is were it not for that affliction that came on full bore middle of college. And she was living this like life of compromise. And in the midst of this struggle, that there was a like an ignition point, an event that really just flared it. God used that to break her and come into full dependence upon the Lord. And it's our hope that in our sin and in our suffering, we can cry out to Jesus, who rescues us, washes us, does not condemn us, but gives us new life. Not a better life, a new life. And what he does for you individually, he will do for you in your marriage. And so he loves you. This is not your identity. Your identity is in Christ. Two, this is hard. Like I live with someone who is a mental struggler. It's hard. I've seen the tears, the anguish, the feeling like it's never going to end, like there is no hope. It is hard, and therefore get full spectrum help. God has made us body, mind, and soul. We are intertwined. They're inseparable. You know this. Whenever you get sick, it just affects you holistically as a person. You can't separate out like soul, body, mind. It's all there intertwined. And so for that reason, in Psalm 42:5, David writes, you can hear the depressive state, "Why are you so cast down or downcast, O my soul?" He's looking within like, what is wrong? You have the God of all creation on your side. Why are you depressed? He doesn't know. He just is. And he says, "And why," speaking to his soul, "are you in turmoil within me?" Mentally, he's asking, why am I in this depressive state? He's like asking a question of himself. Then he gives, he doesn't go on what he feels, he goes to what he knows. He says, hope in God. He's preaching the gospel to himself. Don't hope in your circumstances. Don't hope in what you feel. Don't hope in this depressive state. Hope in God. He's reminding himself, look back to God, not your circumstances, not your pain, not your suffering. He says, "For I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Despite my circumstances, I'm going to lift my eyes to God." If you look inward, it becomes this vacuum that will suck in all of your feelings. I think it's why God tells us in the scriptures, they ask Jesus, what's the most important command? He says, love God, love others. First and second. It's all upward and outward because mental health can cause everything to turn inward. And I don't mean in a narcissistic way. It's in a mentally devouring way. I mean that with such compassion. But here, God gives us the antidote is not looking inward, which will just be like a crushing weight, but instead he's like, look upward. David's saying, why so downcast? Look upward. Yet again, I will praise you, my God and my salvation. So that's soul. The second is mind. In Philippians 4, 6, and 7, walks through this passage where it says, in everything with prayer and petition, present your supplications, your request, let them be known to God with thanksgiving. And then he says, you will get peace that's beyond understanding, meaning inexplicable peace. Like, wait, but you have depression, you have bipolar, you have OCD, you have chronic anxiety, like, and yet you have peace. It's a promise of God. And then it goes on to say, to set your mind on these things above. And he lists them out, whatever's holy, whatever's righteous, whatever's excellent. Like it's again the same thing of like my thought life. And so I'll tell Laura, because she has this with OCD, it's these unwanted, intrusive thoughts that she can't shake. And so I'll tell her, I got this little, we were in some shop and I saw this sign that said, don't believe everything that you think. Which is really good because she has unwanted intrusive thoughts. Don't believe everything that you think. I'm like, oh, that's good. But it's incomplete. And so I got out a black Sharpie and I wrote on the backside, think everything you believe. So your thoughts, you can't trust them all the time. Don't believe everything you think. But you need to think about everything you believe. So take everything that the scriptures say and think on it. Now, like I said to the person who told us, like, well, you just need to pray and memorize scripture and that'll cure all your problems, prosperity gospel. You also have a body, and the body, as I said, is subject to decay. And so Paul, writing to Timothy, says to him, he says, take a little wine with your water because of your frequent stomach ailments. Now, you know they were close because apparently Timothy was like, when Paul's like, how are you doing? He's like, I got a lot of diarrhea. Because Paul's like, hey, man, quit being a martyr. Like, put wine in your water. I know you're trying to, like, maybe not create a stumbling block, but you need some antiseptic in your water. You need the alcohol content of the wine to kill off the bacteria in the water because it's wrecking your stomach. So stop doing this. Like, put some wine in your water. It was a medicinal provision in that time and age. And so in the same way, we now have medicines, and I'm not recommending throwing pills at problems. I have been depressed in my life because of my alcoholism in my past. And there's no pill that would have fixed that. I took an antidepressant, but what I needed to do was quit drinking myself silly all day, every day for more than a decade. Now, I took that pill in that moment because I had such a crushing weight of depression that for 3 months, I would get up. I was sleeping on a buddy's couch, fraternity brother's couch. I'd lost everything, ruined my life. That's what happens when you give yourself over to sin. And I had a little postcard for a $500 rebate for a laptop I bought, $500. You know what I had to do? I had to put a stamp on the postcard. But it was such crippling depression that I couldn't bring myself to drive to the post office to buy a stamp, to drop it in the mail, to receive $500. Buying a stamp was too much. So I say that out of like sincere compassion that I know when you're there. And at that point, I needed help, like a medical intervention of an antidepressant, because I was like losing the ability to function. And so in the same way that Paul says to Timothy, take a little wine with your water, know that there are those things available. I would recommend seeing a Christian psychiatrist if you need that, and don't go alone. Like take your spouse, a community group member, trusted friend, family member who can go with you to listen, because you're in a fog. There's often times I'll go with my wife and the psychiatrist will say, so how are you doing? She's like, I'm pretty good. I'm like, babe, you were in tears 3 times last week. You're not pretty good. She's like, oh yeah, I guess that's right. He's right. You need somebody to come alongside you and help you. Exercise has been proven to be as, if not more, effective for mental health. I don't think until the advent of Western medicine in the last 100 years that God just like gave us over to like these chronic afflictions. He's given us a way. And so Laura works out like a fiend. Like it's her daily commitment for her own well-being, for me and the kids. And so she's just like work out. That's an important part of life. Gut health, diet is an incredible thing, and sleep health also. And so work those things into your system. Because we're again, body, mind, and soul. And then speaking to the body, your spouse can't bear this weight alone. You need a team of support. I say speaking to the body because that's what the scriptures call this is the body of Christ. And that we can't walk through life alone. There is no Lone Ranger Christianity. And if my wife, Laura, and in seasons she has, just relied on me, it becomes this crushing weight that I can't carry. I can't be her savior. And I can't do it alone. It's got to be a group that you have around you. So think community group, family, other sufferers, counselors, psychiatrists, books, podcasts, so that you have that. And then also function over feelings, and this will be a quick one. It's what I needed whenever I had that $500 rebate and all I needed was a stamp. It's Newtonian physics. An object at rest stays at rest. An object in motion stays in motion. You've got to just move yourself, function over feelings, like I've got to just get out of bed and I need accountability. I've got to go on what I know. I've got to go to work. I've got to do the dishes. I've got to do the laundry. And there's this like, you've got to just continue on, because if you stop, it will stay stopped. And so that help. And you see this in Jesus' life when it says, and going a little further, he fell on his face and prayed. This is Matthew 26. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. There were his feelings, sweating blood, crushing weight. Let this cup pass. Those are his feelings. And then he prays, function, yet not my will, your will be done. And he's led away to the cross for our salvation. And so function over feelings. That's hopefully some helpful things for the sufferer. Now for the supporter. We'll go through these a little quicker. For the supporter, you have a special calling, and it's not to lose yourself for the sake of your spouse. If you do, what you will end up having is 2 strugglers instead of 1. So you're there to care, but not fall into codependency. Codependency is to become, maybe in a nutshell, to lose yourself in them, become so enmeshed, to become their functional savior, and you can't be, you won't be, and you will end up in your marriage having 2 strugglers instead of 1. Now, you do have a special calling. This is Ephesians 5. It says, we're to love as if they're our own body. 1 Corinthians 7, your body's not your own and their body's not their own. In fact, you belong to each other. You're one flesh, Matthew 19. God has made you so. And therefore, we do care for one another, but it can't be at the sake of losing yourself in that, or truly, there will be dual loss. Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens. It's not like they're the struggler and you're like, well, you figure it out. Because of covenant now, we do bear one another's burdens. We walk through that together. But your spouse has a savior and you are not him. And so remember that the care and codependency can be a fine line too. You need support as well. I do. And so speaking of the strugglers now, on behalf of the supporters, the struggler, you need to give your spouse permission. I know it can carry a stigma or shame. Like, I don't want people to know that I'm bipolar, or that I have OCD, or that I have this chronic anxiety, or that I'm in a depressive state. But you need to give your spouse that permission because they need care and support. They need to be able to say, hey, pray for us. I'm caring for my spouse right now. They're in a really hard place mentally, and I'm carrying the burden with them, and I need prayer. I need support. I don't know how to walk through this. And so you need to give them permission, and then you need that support from your spouse, from family, from community group, friends, counselor. This is why I went through Alcoholics Anonymous. I still got my 24-hour chip on my key ring from 18 years ago. But it's why AA has Al-Anon. There's the struggler, and then there's the supporter. There's a group for the struggler, Alcoholics Anonymous, and then there's the group for the supporter. Like, hey, we're going to help the families and for those who are walking through this. You need that as well. And I think about Mark chapter 2, verses 3 and 5, where it says they came, four friends, carrying a paralytic on a mat. It wasn't one person, though one person probably could have. One person probably could have, like, thrown him over the shoulder, piggyback ride style, I don't know what. And then four people went up to the roof because they couldn't get to him because of the crowds. Then four people tore apart the roof. And then four people lowered him down. Maybe one could have done it, but it would have been really hard and really messy. And they would have carried 100% of the weight instead of 25% of the weight because there were four. And so bring about a team of support for the struggler and also for the supporter. And become, as you need support, become a student of the struggle. So, like, I have become a student of OCD. I think in some ways I know more about OCD than my wife Laura does because she's my bride. And I want to know how to care for her. So I've read books on it and podcasts on it and YouTube videos. And I go to the appointments and I talk to the doctors because I want to know how to care for my bride. So become a student. And then thirdly and finally, and this is a good summary point for everybody, and I'll be done. Receive and extend grace. You can't give what you don't get. And if you try to love your struggling mental health struggler spouse by your own compassion and acts of service and love and grace, you will run out. It's happened to me. Where I go for 5 or 6 days when Laura's in a hard wave of anxiety, OCD, but I'm going on my own strength and I run out. And then there's the outburst. Then there's the like, hey, I don't have anything left to give, okay? Like, I've said everything I can say. There's nothing more I can do. You've got to do something. And I'm just like, I'm at the end of myself because I've not gone back to get grace from Jesus daily to then give to her. I've been going on my own strength and I've run out. And then we're both just frustrated. And so receive grace for your own well-being, for your own sustenance, in order to give grace, because you can't give what you don't get, and you have to get it from him. There's no other source. He is the God of all comfort, so go to him, then offer it to your spouse. There's a part of me that feels like, yeah, how can you address mental health and for the struggler and the supporter in 20 minutes? It feels almost insulting to do that cursory, but I think what's more insulting is to not do it at all. And so I'm so proud of Matt and Melinda and the team for doing so. And now I just want to pray over y'all. Father, thank you for my brothers and sisters in Christ and for those who maybe have not trusted in Jesus yet, that tonight could be the night to receive the forgiveness of sins through your death and resurrection. Lord, for those who are in the room that are struggling or ever will, I pray that you would just flood them with healing and hope, that you would carry them. And for the supportive spouse, I pray that they would receive grace from you, that they could offer it to their spouse. Do not use this let this broken, fallen world and the ailments, the afflictions that we have, to be yet another source of division in marriage, Lord. Flip the script, use it for good. You promise that you will make us more into the image of Christ through our suffering, that you'll produce character and endurance and hope. So bear the fruit from the struggle. Crush the grape and bring forth great wine from the suffering in the lives of these couples that are so dear to you. In Jesus' name, amen.